And welcome back to Coast. Mark Biltz with us. His latest work is called Decoding the Antichrist. This book comes out on March 5th, by the way. And when we come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, we will begin by taking your calls. And welcome back to Coast. Mark Biltz with us, of course, Decoding the Antichrist, and we'll get to your calls as well. It's a subject, Mark, that really cuts to people's innards really fast, doesn't it? People are concerned about the Antichrist, more so than just about any subject I've come across. How come?
Well, I think the whole concept of the Antichrist brings a lot of fear into people because it's the whole concept of being controlled, all your freedoms being taken away. And then, of course, for Christians, it's the whole concept of maybe losing your soul for eternity if you make wrong decisions. I can understand why people would be afraid, and this is part of the reason I want to get the book out, is to calm people's fears and to let them know there are answers, and it's the whole thing is to understand the system of legalized lawlessness.
Well, that's legalized lawlessness is interesting, isn't it? Because that is the future.
Oh, it is. When you, I compare it back to the book of Esther, because history always repeats itself. And back then, what they decided, it was total lawlessness, but they made laws. Let's just make it a law. It's okay to kill all the Jewish people. It's okay to take everything they own, and that makes it right. And so that's what's coming again. It's going to be the same thing, where things that seem immoral, if we just legalize it, then it's okay. People who are, I mean, look at our border, the illegal aliens, they want to make them legal. Now, I'm all for, you know, being open and loving people, but the whole concept of what is legal and illegal is being turned on its head.
Let's take some calls here for you, Mark, as they line up. Frank in Hollywood, Maryland, to get us started. Frank, go ahead.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you. Can't believe I was a leadoff batter in two
That's right. You used to be cleanup, but I thought you'd get on base more, so I put you up on first.
Yeah. this thing about the Antichrist, they accused Saddam Hussein about being an Antichrist. How can a bumbling madman who we overthrew in 6 weeks with the help of the Allies, how can he be considered that? Then they say two individuals on this very program said Prince Charles was the Antichrist because his coat of arms is similar to the seven heads of the beast. I'm more interested in does the Ark of the Covenant have anything to do with this Antichrist? And
hold on now, you're giving us three questions, so that's enough for us. First of all, Saddam Hussein, what do you think?
Well, he obviously wasn't the Antichrist. He's dead now, and this is why.
Well, what if he comes back? If he comes back, then you might have his change of tune, right?
Hey, if that happens, I definitely would be shocked. But I'm all against people trying to proclaim Prince Charles or anybody trying to be the Antichrist. They all fail, and that's why I think we need to profile what the Antichrist will be like more than trying to guess who he will be.
What about the Ark of the Covenant? Anything special about it and the Antichrist?
Well, they do say in Revelation that the Antichrist is supposed to basically sit in the temple and proclaim to be God. Now, they talk about the lost Ark of the Covenant, but in Judaism, they've never lost it. They know where it is. I've talked to the head of the Temple Institute, who is ready and has everything ready to rebuild the temple, and they said they've always known where the Ark of the Covenant is. They never did lose it. Now, whether they build an actual temple or begin temple sacrifices are two different things. But some people see the Antichrist tied into the rediscovery or the bringing out of the Ark of the Covenant and restarting temple sacrifices.
Why do people seem to embrace who this Antichrist may be? Now, obviously, they don't know that it's the Antichrist, but why does he have that kind of power to have so many people embrace him?
I think it's because it's what you said earlier, George, that people are so afraid. I think they feel like they have some level of control if they can guess who it is. But The thing is, there are no points for being right. I mean, I believe that when he comes, everyone's going to know. But at the same time, I really believe people are going to fall for him.
Is the Antichrist somewhat Satan?
Well, many believe he will be possessed by Satan, almost in the sense of being Satan incarnate himself.
Why doesn't God step in and stop the Antichrist from appearing?
I don't think he'll ever stop him from appearing, but I think he'll stop him in his tracks from completing his mission. That's for sure. Philosophically, let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Why did God put the tree of knowledge of good and evil there to begin with? I mean, I always thought, man, if I was there 6,000 years ago, I'd have cut that sucker down. You know, but why was it even there to begin with? Why does the Antichrist appear? I think it really comes down to, will we obey God or not?
It's all about free choice, isn't it?
It's all about free choice. Because, you know, what most people don't realize, the word king has a different meaning in Hebrew than it does in English. In Hebrew, the word's melech, and it's a king who only accepts volunteers. He's not a king who forces himself upon people in his kingdom. The English isn't the best translation. The Antichrist is all about control and manipulation, which is just the opposite of God.
Next up, we go to Pat in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Pat. Welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Oh, Mark, I've followed you, and I think we should get your book. But I wanted to ask you about, a lot of people say that the words of abomination of desolation refers to the Antichrist, but at one time it says spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and when you go over there, it says the abomination that causes desolation. So what do you say about that?
I love that question. That's one of my favorite questions, because this is the whole thing people need to realize. History repeats itself. Daniel, when he talked about the abomination of desolation, historically that happened during Hanukkah. Okay, that's what Antiochus Epiphanes, he put in an abomination of desolation in the temple. It was destroyed. And Josephus, who lived 2,000 years ago, wrote in his book that what happened at Hanukkah in 168 BC was a fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. But here's the thing. In Matthew 24, when Jesus is talking to the disciples, he also talks about the abomination of desolation that's going to be appearing again in the temple. So what we have to realize is that which has happened before is that which will happen again. And so that abomination of desolation in Daniel happened during Hanukkah. I believe it also happened again in around 70 AD, and I believe it will happen again in the future.
Let's go to Carrie now in Riverside, California. Good morning, Carrie. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, everyone. I have two questions. My first one is, do you at all relate 2 Thessalonians 2:6, the restrainer, like is going to hold back the lawless one? First of all, do you consider that to be the church, and that meaning that the church has to be gone to let the Antichrist make a stand? And second, Jonathan Cahn said in the original Hebrew that the word for Antichrist in the Bible is a word meaning something that's not human. It could be the AI, it could be ETs, which are demons, something like that. So I was wondering what you thought on that. They think that there's going to be like a calamity, like maybe a shutdown or a depression that will bring forth the Antichrist, and he will have something that will, people will, you know, call him a hero. And like the implants might be chips, which, you know, would make you live to be 200, make you have no diseases, something like that order. But thank you very much, and God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. What's fascinating is where it talks about the Antichrist, and that wicked one will be revealed. Your question was about the restrainer. I don't think the church is necessarily the restrainer. I believe maybe the Holy Spirit is the restrainer. I believe the church today is more like Lot rather than Abraham. Much of the church is totally assimilated, totally clueless about the destruction that's coming, unlike Abraham, who was alert and praying. But that word, I'm glad you used the word lawless. Some translations talk about the Antichrist being the wicked one when he's revealed, but the Greek word is anomos, and it means lawless, which goes back again to what I was talking about.
Ayn Rand wrote the book Atlas Shrugged about how government would try to take over. Is that sort of like the Antichrist?
I think it's going to be a combination of private enterprise and the government, just like Google or Facebook working with China, working with our government. I think it's going to be a combination of both.
Let's go to Douglas, first-time caller in Buffalo, New York. Welcome to the program, Douglas. Good to have you with us.
Yes. Hi, Mark.
There. Yes.
Yeah, I'm listening to you, and I agree 100% about the restrainer. I've been studying God's word for so many years. I love it. More in prophecy in the last 15 years. Second Thessalonians, Revelations, Daniel, key. They're all very key. Even Isaiah can open up some eyes on some things. But this time is coming. There's things coming to America. I've had dreams and visions about things that are coming to this nation.
Sooner than later, Douglas?
What?
Sooner than later?
Soon, the dollar is going to go under. It's going to go under. But also, there's physical manifestations coming to this nation. But we will thrive after. God is not done with America. I want to pray to every Christian brother and sister out there. Pray for this nation. Pray for Donald Trump, because he is on the right side of things. Don't listen to the lies that are coming from the left. They are an enemy to this nation, and they must be taken out of the way for God to use this nation as a harvest nation. The other thing is the Ezekiel 38 war is coming. It's coming one day, and it's going to be Iran, Russia, if it's Russia or Turkey, either one.
And maybe
that.
China, too. What does Scripture say about Iran again? Because I think you're right there, too, Mark. I think it's going to really be a hotbed.
Yes, I think Iran in the scriptures is referred to as Elam, and how they will be judged. Now, what's fascinating, going back to what the caller said, I was speaking to someone with the IDF, a major of the Northern Command, this last week. I won't mention his name, but he was mentioning about how, and you hear this in the news anyway, so he wasn't revealing anything that's secret, but it's just a matter of Iran wants to cause a war. They want to shoot rockets off the middle of March. They've claimed this middle of March, they want to disrupt the Israeli elections on April 9th. And they've gone from offensive to defensive. And he told me Israel has completely changed their military strategy, going from defense to offense as well. That's why they're, in the past, they used to say, we don't know who bombed that Syria nuclear plant. But now they're out. They're bombing during the day. They're saying it's them. And Hezbollah, there are, for decades, Hezbollah has been entrenched in the United States. And many believe that all they have to do, the Mississippi River, you know, if they bomb 10 main railroad tracks or bridges along the Mississippi River, that will completely cut off the east from the west. And many see that happening after this Iran-Israel war. Then Hezbollah would do their terrorist attacks in the United States, and then using the excuse, well, let's blame Israel. Because if Israel hadn't have attacked Lebanon and Iran, then these terrorist incidents wouldn't have happened in America. But many people see these things happening this year.
What about deception, Mark? What do you see in terms of some kind of sleight of hand here to trick us?
Well, it goes back to what you were even mentioning earlier, and even some of your ads were the fake media, the fake news. How it would not be hard to even have someone come on and with someone else's face saying, you know, Iran is bombing the United States when they haven't, and we retaliate thinking it's true. We're really in trouble when it comes to these deep fake videos.
Oh, I tell you, and it's so sophisticated. Now, we almost had problems with Russia during a false launch. A few years ago. I mean, it's dangerous. Technology, as good as it is, can also be a disaster in the wrong hands.
Yes, and especially if people don't trust each other and they're operating on a hair trigger. And so my concern is Israel and Iran going to war from Lebanon, Syria, bringing the U.S., Russia, China, everyone into it as well.
You're listening to Mark Biltz with us on Coast to Coast with his latest work, Decoding the Antichrist, which comes out in the spring, March 5th. Hard to believe it's a month away. That's not too far. My gosh, where's the time going, Mark? Slow it down.
I know. Before we know it, it'll be 2020. And I like to say that 2020 is like the play on words of 2020 vision. I think prophetically we will see much clearer in 2020 where we're at.
Brenda's with us in West Virginia. Hi, Brenda. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How you doing, honey?
Okay. Thank you.
All right, you guys. Calm down now. You're starting to scare me. I live in the Appalachian Mountains in West Virginia, in a real remote area. I got about 3 acres of land that there's 40 to 80 deer in my yard every day and 100 turkeys, and I've got 30 fruit and nut trees and a huge garden. What I want to know is any of this going to do me any good when it comes to when we can't get food? Is God going to take us out, you know, as Christians? Is he going to save us and take us out of here, or are we going to have to try and grow our own food and live off the land and take care of ourselves, you know? How bad is it going to get for us?
Or all of the above, Mark. What do you think?
Well, I want to live where she lives. She's got all kinds of great stuff stored up there. But
but how long will it last?
Well, right, that's the thing. Well, here's the thing. It goes back again to what I said earlier. I've almost died so many times I've lost count. And I really believe if it's not my time, it's not going to happen. And if it is, there's nothing I can do about it. And that's what gives me great confidence is I just trust the Lord. I think that miracles could take place. If I run out of food, hey, I could put an empty plate on my table and pray and food will appear if that's what God wanted. So for me, I don't walk in fear at all. I just, draw close to the Lord, and I believe it's all going to be good. No matter what, we all got to die sometime. So if I'm going to die, I want to go down swinging anyway. So just like when a house is on fire, you got people running out, but the firemen running in. So I think it kind of depends on what you feel your calling is. For me, I just have no fear.
Do you believe you'll be around when the Antichrist pops up?
I believe so. I've in my life twice I've had dreams where I experienced the resurrection of the dead, so to speak.
Would you know it's the Antichrist, or would you get baffled too?
No, I think I will know beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Would you confront him?
Well, if he's over here, I don't know.
Or wherever he may be.
Wherever he may be, I think he's probably going to be over in Israel. That's where the two witnesses are supposed to be, and he's supposed to battle with them.
What would you say if you were in a room with the Antichrist, Mark, and you had one question to ask him? What would it be?
Boy, would it be a question or a statement? I would say, boy, if it was a question, I guess my question is would be, how much longer do you think you got, buddy?
I would say, do you know Satan's behind you?
Yeah, really.
Because he may not know that.
Yeah.
At this point.
Exactly. I would say something, your days are limited.
Mark Biltz with us, the name of the book, Decoding the Antichrist, and you created quite a stir with your Blood Moons book. You know that.
Oh, my goodness. I sure did. I love it. I love stirring the pot.
Well, stirring the pot is what you did. We're going to come back and stir up more phone calls for you, Mark, in our final segment here on Coast to Coast. And also, don't forget, folks, to talking about high technology and artificial intelligence. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. You can send me an email at george@coasttocoastam.com, george@coasttocoastam.com. Also got an email today, but somebody who said, you're right, that was the dullest Super Bowl game I've ever seen. Hey, you know what? The teams are teams, and they play tough, both of them, but it was a very low-scoring game. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Next hour, Dr. Michael Sala joins us as we talk about more about ET disclosure and what's happening up there. Mark Biltz with us here, Decoding the Antichrist, and we'll get your final calls as well. This subject really strikes a nerve with people, Mark. Why?
I think it strikes a nerve because people realize how close we are. I mean, if people didn't feel like it wasn't at the door, I don't think it would bother them as much. But I think everyone knows that it is like a tsunami wave and it is coming quicker than we realize.
I think so, too. Next up, let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello there, Cornelius.
Hey there, George. This is your God, guns, and gold, man, your Bible bullets and bees, man, telling everybody to get ready there, Mark Belts. Hey, George, I wanted to tell you, I was just talking to Tommy. I tried to call our friend Barry, and I got to tell you, I'm listening to that Sea Crane radio, or Roost radio, that one of the listeners said to me because my old military police radio quit. So that Sea Crane radio is great. That's Mark, great. I wanted to tell you, you had a Four Blood Moons package I got from you, and I hope you'll give your 800 number after the show, you know, after you get to the end, because that's the only way I got it. But I really enjoyed it and everything. And I wanted to say one more thing, George. The Saints put a curse, and the Christians prayed that the Patriots would beat the Rams for what they did to them.
All over that one play, right?
Yeah. So, but anyway, let me say my little spiel. Now, Mark, and I know you're more or less a Jewish Christian. I believe in the Jewish Jesus, and I believe that the mark of the beast, they're already asking people voluntarily now to accept these chips in their heads and their hands.
Yep.
Pretty soon, they'll be forced on us. So that's when I think the trouble's going to come in. Christians will refuse and get their heads cut off. So anyway, that's my spiel on it. Mark, give your 800 number at the end of the show. God bless you, George. Thank you.
All right, Corny. Do you still have that 800 number, Mark?
Well, it's just it's 253-862-8010. I don't know if it's an 800 number, but 253-862-8010 is our office. www.lcdiministries.us. You can pre-order the book Decoding the Antichrist on Amazon. But I really believe that chip, people are going to ask for it. I think rather than running from it, you'll be surprised how many people line up.
Some people are asking for it. There is a company that offered it to its employees, and whether they thought they had to get it or not, lots of them went forward to get it. I got to tell you, Mark, I'm going to be one of those that will refuse it. I don't want a chip in my hand.
Yeah, chip in your hand. But think of the convenience. My goodness.
How they're going to sell it. They're going to sell it on us. You're going to say, you don't need a credit card. You don't need a checking account. You just wave your hand over this little meter, and we'll automatically debit your account. Don't worry about, you forget your wallet. Don't worry about it. Just wave your hand over it. That's how they're going to get you.
I think so. Plus, it'll give you some kind of it's all for safety. It'll all be for security. That's how they're going to sell it. It's with all the features and the benefits, and people will swallow it hook, line, and sinker.
Let's go to Linda in Auburn, Washington, west of the Rockies. Hi, Linda.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call once again.
Of course. Thank you.
My stomach is churning on this topic. It's such a complex topic that my nerves are a mess, but I'm going to try to get through this because I want to put my 2 cents in.
Okay.
I'd like to say it's 3 cents, but anyways, I have come to the factual conclusion, at least with my personal belief system, that Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, is really the Antichrist. I think he was portrayed to be the Savior to create fear and control and not allow the people to have any independent thinking. And I think Revelations has been twisted and deceptive, making him look like the hero when in fact they're using it to destroy us.
So what you're saying, though, is you think the Jesus in the Bible was the Antichrist.
I do. Well, I think.
Let's get Mark's take on that, then. Mark, what do you think of that?
Well, that's what I was telling you. I think people, everyone looks at things from a different perspective. Some people see Solomon as a great guy. Some see him as the Antichrist, you know. And I obviously don't believe Jesus of the Bible is the Antichrist. But I believe what's happened in Christianity has portrayed Jesus as something, the Jesus of the Bible as something that he's not. If you Google Jesus, you're going to see a Chinese Jesus, a black Jesus, a white Jesus, a Native American Jesus, and man has tried to create Jesus or God in our own image rather than realizing we've been created in his. And so in one sense, I believe that she's right in the sense that the Jesus of the Bible that's portrayed now isn't really the Jesus of the Bible that walked the earth. We've created a monster.
Let's go to Gordon in Plant City, Florida. Welcome to the program. Gordon, go ahead.
Hey, George, Mark, thank you for taking my call. And by the way, compliments to your webmaster. The graphic that you guys have up shows Revelation, the book of Revelation, and also the revelation of the UFO. So it covers both this topic
yep.
and the later one. Now, Mark,
by the way, did you move, Gordon?
Yes, it's about 11 miles from Lakeland. You were paying attention in class. Oh, you were paying attention. Yeah. You guys treat me really well, and y'all are true Christians. These other, I'm not going to name a whole bunch of other secular and Christian places that I call into. You guys are true Christians, even if the station itself is secular, and I want to thank you for that. Now, I want to just get right to it. Now, the other caller said that the dollar's going to crash, and in the Lakeland Ledger, I wrote a column, you can check it out, and I predicted that the dollar would crash away because almost 2% of our total debt is college debt. But I'm going to go one step further, and based on Revelation chapter 6, verse 6, I predicted the dollar is going to crash regardless of what the lawmakers do, because it says a measure of wheat, which is a day's measure of food, and the measure will cost a penny, which is a day's a denarius, that is a day's food. And if it takes a day's amount of food for a day's wages, I mean, if a day's wages is required for a day's food, that bodes a bad economy. And I would like also to ask about my interpretation of the millennium. In the millennium, you're going to have people in physical bodies, probably in spiritual, definitely in physical, and the babies that get killed before the age of accountability, I think will have a chance of free will. And to strip them of the free will, I don't think that God is telling people if they kill the child, they'll go to heaven forever, because that's called baby universalism. And so I believe, and the book that I wrote on it, I'm not going to promote the book, but George knows my last name. He can look it up. I want to get your opinion on my view that since you and I have free will, the angels have free will. In the millennium, at the end, there's a rebellion, so there's free will. The babies that were killed before the age of accountability cannot be denied free will, or else it would end up being God tempting people to kill the babies, because that would cause them to go to heaven forever. I think that they're in heaven for now, but I think in the millennium, anyone that did not have a free will chance will get it. And the Bible does not prohibit this, although it's rather murky. I'm going to stay on the line because I know you have questions of me.
Maybe not, but go ahead, Mark.
Well, I was going to say, when it comes to a lot of things like the death of the infants or even the death of the Jews in the Holocaust, all I can say is that's above my pay grade. You know, they're God's kids. They're God's creation. I will never say who's in or who's out. I do know that we have to look at God as loving, and he's fair and he's just, and whatever he does is going to be the right thing. And so for me, it's above my pay grade who goes in and who's not in. But I'm definitely a strong believer in free will.
Free will is all what it's all about, isn't it?
You bet.
Do you have a question for Gordon, or should we release him?
Oh, I don't have any questions, but I like
okay.
his comment.
There you go, Gordon. Thank you. Mark, the fact that we could be in the beginning stages of it is kind of scary to a lot of people. Because there's going to be wars, famines, pestilence. How long does that stuff go on?
I think it's going to go on for about 7 years. But I really believe that this year could be a real turning point year. What's fascinating is psychologically, they say the hardest time in a person's life is when they're like 19, 29, 39, 49, 59. And then also that's for an individual. But also as a nation, when you're hitting the nines like 2019, 2020, 2029, 2039. I believe psychologically, as we're turning into the next generation of a 2020, that this year is going to be very hard on people psychologically and emotionally, and I believe as well as with what's going to be unfolding.
Sure. I think it already is, don't you?
Yeah. Well, definitely. Definitely.
You can tell.
I think the next couple of months will be very interesting, especially when it comes to what's going on in the Middle East.
Out to Tacoma, Washington we go. Wayne's back with us. Hey, Wayne, go ahead.
Good evening, Sir George and Mark.
Hi.
A short statement about where the Antichrist comes from the Bible, from the great prophet.
Mm-hmm.
The prophet Isaiah first identified the Antichrist, calling him the Syrian, also in Micah 5. He is called the Syrian, and Daniel really brings it down to exactly where he comes from. In Daniel chapter 11, he talks about the Antichrist and the purpose of the Antichrist. He says that the last vision, Daniel 10, 1 through 12, was to narrow down the coming of the Antichrist geographically, from the four divisions of the Grecian Empire. And, of course, the Grecian Empire had been broken up, but it's going to be reformed under the 10 divisions of the Roman Empire. But that one division of the Grecian Empire, the Syrian division, is going to overtake during the new formation of the Roman Empire. And he also says that the divisions of the Syrian Empire are complete with the visions of Daniel concerning the law, last days of the reign of the Messiah, and that this gives the third and the last description of the Antichrist in Daniel. He is called the Little Horn, King of the North, the Man of Sin, and the Beast of Revelation, and they are the same. Mark, what is your opinion of what Daniel says?
Well, I love the book of Daniel, and I think this is what's important, is people need to realize history repeats itself. When Daniel had his vision of Nebuchadnezzar's image, it was of different kingdoms. And we know Nebuchadnezzar was the first, and then the silver, it was gold. Silver was the Medes and the Persian, you know, and then came the Greece, and then after that came Rome. Well, Alexander the Great, his kingdom was broken up. He was the Great Horn, and his kingdom was divided into the four smaller kingdoms, and from that came the Little Horn, and that Little Horn was Antiochus Epiphanes and the story of Hanukkah. Matthew 24 is all about Hanukkah happening again. So history repeats itself. So it's happened before, which means it will happen again. And I think it's interesting, within Islam, they believe when Jesus returns, he returns to Syria, to Damascus, rather than the Mount of Olives. There's all kinds of interesting twists and turns, but I believe history repeats itself. And so in Daniel's vision, what he saw then, much of it has happened, and it will happen again, like you say.
Mark, do you believe in reincarnation, and could the possibility of the Antichrist, who might have been in the Napoleon and then Hitler and then whoever it will be, is the same?
Now, what's interesting, George, I don't know if you knew this, but in Orthodox Judaism, they do believe in reincarnation. Now, that's why some people were even, you know, thinking John the Baptist was Elijah come back, you know, in their thinking. Now, I don't believe in reincarnation myself, but who knows? There's a lot that I don't know.
I'm just wondering if the entity of the Antichrist continues to come back.
Oh, definitely. And I can prove that, because in Exodus, when Amalek attacked Israel, God said, you will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And the way that's interpreted is, in every generation, there's an Amalek spirit that wants to destroy God's people, just like Hitler was an Amalek. Iran today is Amalek. So there most definitely, George, is an Amalek spirit that's reincarnated in every generation.
Mark's website, ElShaddaiMinistries.us, linked up for you, makes it very easy at coasttocoastam.com. A couple of his books include Blood Moons. The latest that comes out in March is called Decoding the Antichrist, which we've been talking about tonight. I would like to say It's an exciting book, Mark, but it's also a scary book.
That it is. That it is. But I hope it's scary in the sense that it gets people to wake up.
Well, I hope so, too. Would you give that phone number out one more time for people?
Sure. 253-862-8010.
Super. Mark, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you, George.
Really appreciate it. Up next, Dr. Michael Sala joins us as we talk about disclosure, ETs, and just a classic Coast to Coast program coming.